If you would, I want to read a passage from the Old Testament, from the book of Joshua. So if you would stand and let me read for us Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 10. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I am giving to them, to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I promised to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, and all the land of the Hittites down to the great sea, towards the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you might have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate upon it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened, and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. This is the word of the Lord. Our Father, we come before you this morning acknowledging that you are God, and there is no other. You are the God who created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And not only are you the God who has created and made us, but in the brokenness of our sin, you are the God who has sent his Son into this world to save us and to redeem us, to redeem a people for yourself through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. You have called people to yourself, people from every tribe, every tongue, every nation, and we will stand side by side, shoulder to shoulder, before the throne of God, giving praise to the Father who sits upon the throne, and to his Son, the Lamb, who loved us and gave himself for us. Let us have eyes to see what you have called us to, yourself. Father, I pray this morning that you would be with the leaders of our land and our country and our nation. As we see sin and brokenness spread, we pray that the gospel of your Son, Jesus Christ, would call people back to yourself. Lord, I pray that you would smite our hearts and cause us to turn our eyes to Jesus, the one who gave his life so that we might live in your name. Father, I pray that you would be with this people here in Rio Rancho. And specifically, Lord, I pray for your hand of blessing upon this church, Charity Baptist Church, and the people that you have gathered together here to rejoice in the name of God together. Lord, let us know that you are God. And let us know that Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And no matter what happens in this world, no matter what happens in this life, that you work all things together for good to those who love you, to those who are called according to your purpose. So, Lord, the brokenness that has been brought into this room today, I pray that you would heal it through the words of Jesus this morning. Lord, we pray for those who are traveling and we know that burdens are upon their hearts. I pray that you would bless them and keep them close to you. Those who would long to be with us this morning and can't, Lord, we pray for your hand of mercy and grace upon them. And Father, we pray for our community that you would let us be salt and light in our community. Lord, beginning here in this sanctuary, and let it flow out our doors. And the first place that the salt and light we ask that it flows to is in our homes and to our neighbors. And I pray especially for Enchanted Hills Elementary School, that the sweetness of the gospel would spread there because of our testimony. Lord, we ask that as we open up your word this morning, that you would nourish our souls, that you would call us to yourself once again, that you would not let us leave here the same as what we came in, that you would let us be the people that you have called us to be, Christians, Christ followers. I ask this in his name, amen. If you would, take your copy of Scripture and turn it to the book of Matthew, and we are making our way systematically through Matthew's gospel, and I absolutely love preaching through a book of the Bible. And why do you say that? Because I love taking the message of God's word and making it clear to people and their lives and applying it to their lives. There's no greater gift than doing that. And I walk through step by step, and sometimes I come to a hard passage, right? And guess what I have to do? I have to teach a hard passage because it's God's word. And sometimes I come to a passage and I'm like, yes, 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 this is a passage that I love. This morning, we're going to shift gears. We're leaving Matthew chapter 5 and we're going into Matthew chapter 6. So let me read the first four verses of Matthew chapter 6 so that you get your bearings of where we're at in Matthew's gospel. Matthew chapter 6, verse 1, Jesus says, "Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you." Let us pray. Father, we pray that you would take the words of your Son, Jesus, and let them pierce to the deepest part of our soul, to our hearts. And Lord, I pray that your word would show us what is right and wrong, what is good, what is evil, and that you would cut out evil from our hearts, and that you would allow the seed of the Spirit to grow what is good, the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. Lord, I pray this morning that you would take me and forgive me of my sin and allow me to fade into the background and to allow Jesus Christ to step forward and to preach his word to his people this morning. I ask this in your precious name, Lord. Amen. Many mighty oak trees and maple trees and elm trees have a problem. On the outside, they look healthy. They look strong. They look big. They put out leaves and they shoot down roots into the ground. They are big and beautiful, and they provide shade in the summertime. Yet many have a problem. Do you know what this problem is called? It's called heartwood decay or heartwood rot. It's when the center of the tree becomes diseased and it begins to rot away from the inside out. From the outside, you can't tell it. In fact, for years, even decades, the tree can continue to grow and to thrive. But all along, on the inside, it is wasting away. Jesus is going to teach us about heartwood this morning. Our heartwood. Christians can be looking healthy on the outside, but on the inside, they are wasting away. And Jesus does not want that for your life. And so he is not going to allow that to happen. He's going to take his word, Lord willing, this morning, and he's going to pierce our hearts, and he's going to go in, and he's going to address the rot that's in there, and he's going to pull it out. He says, that can't be in your life. He's going to do this in three distinct areas, but it's going to apply to your whole life. He's going to do it in giving, he's going to do it in praying, and he's going to do it in self-sacrifice, and he's going to use fasting as an example. This morning, we're going to talk about giving, the first heart lesson that Jesus has for us from his word here in Matthew chapter 6. But before we get into talking about Matthew chapter 6, verse 1, we need a navigation check to remember where we are. Where are we in the Gospel of Matthew? Now remember, Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist, and then he began to preach. Do you remember the message that Jesus was preaching? He says, behold, or repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And guess what happened? People started flocking to Jesus. From the north, from the south, from the east, to the west, they all started coming to Jesus. And what did Jesus do? He went up onto the mount and he sat down and he began to teach what it means to be a true disciple of Jesus. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are those who are merciful, who are meek, who are hungry and thirsty for righteousness. Blessed are them, for theirs shall be the kingdom of God. And he says, you're supposed to be salt in this world, and you're supposed to be light in this world, so that when people see your life, they will give glory to your Father in heaven. And don't think that I'm teaching something new, because I have not come to destroy the law. I have come to fulfill the law. I will fulfill the law, is the words of Jesus. And then I want you to hear the echo of the warning that Jesus says. He says, for I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. There is a way to do righteousness that is not right. And Jesus says, my disciples can't do that. And he begins to talk not only about murder, but about angry hearts. And not only about adultery, but about what it means to love your spouse, and what it means to keep your word, and what it means not only to be kind to those who are kind to you, but what it means to love your enemy as well. That's what Jesus has taught us. Now he pivots and says, the godly will do things like give and pray. But you know, you can do that in the wrong way too. Jesus is after our hearts. Not just mere external conformity, but he's after your heart. He wants you. He wants all of you. And he will not rest. He will not settle for a disciple whose heart is not given over to him. And that's what he addresses this morning. Look with me, Matthew chapter 6, verse 1. He says, beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. The challenge this morning is for you and for me to embrace the act of giving that's right in the sight of God. Embrace God's heart in our giving. How are we supposed to do that? That's point one and point two, hopefully on the outline that you have. Number one, take heed to Jesus' warning. And number two, follow Jesus' instructions. So let us begin by taking heed to Jesus' warning. And your question is, Pastor, what warning does Jesus give? And I say, I'm glad you asked. Here it is. Chapter 6, verse 1. Here it is. Beware. It's a warning. Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them. Warning, check your motives. Look at your heart. Be honest about the temptation of being noticed when you're doing good. It's a temptation for us all. He says, beware of doing that. Let me ask you a question. Is it right to do what is right in the sight of God? Not a trick question. Is it right to do what is right in the sight of God? And the answer to that question is yes, absolutely. What is righteousness, by the way? Simple definition. It's our actions and our motives that accord with the character of God. Actions and motives that accord, that are in conjunction with the character of God. It's what is good, what is right in the sight of God. I want you to allow Jesus' words once again to echo in your ear. In your ear, not your ear, your ear. Righteousness. I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. What is the litmus test that Jesus gives for practicing what is right before the sight of God? He says, ask yourself this question. Am I doing this to be seen by others? Am I doing this good thing on the outside in order that others might see me do it? Are you doing a good work, not for God's glory, but for your own? Now, when Jesus says that, beware practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, if you're honest with yourself, it strikes something in your heart, doesn't it? Because you know the temptation of doing something good for the wrong reasons. It's that subtle, subtle detail that's dropped into a conversation so that you get glory. It's that timing of when you do something to make sure that somebody's going to see what you're doing. It's that question that you ask so that that conversation begins so that you can tell your story. We know the temptation. It's there. It's real for each and every one of us. Jesus is not condemning acts of righteousness. He's condemning doing them for the wrong reasons. He's not even condemning public good things. He's condemning doing them to be seen and to get glory for yourself. Well, you ask, Pastor, what should we do? How should we do? Out of what heart should we do good things? And may I answer you with one word? Love. Jesus said it best when he was asked about this later on in the Gospel of Matthew. But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. Teacher, what is the great commandment in the law? And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And a second one is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all of the law and the prophets. When you give properly out of a heart full of love. First for God, then for others. That's the motive that God calls you to give out of a heart of love. Our righteousness flows out of a heart that's been changed by God through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. This is the proper motive for righteousness, not for yourself, but for the good of others and ultimately for the glory of God. Now, how do we begin to embrace God's heart in this act of giving, number one, beware of the temptation of doing things for yourself. And number two, if you do that, you need to realize the loss that's involved. Look again with me at verse 1. Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Per Jesus, what happens when you do good things for your own glory? You will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. When a person does righteousness for the purpose of being seen by others and receiving the glory of it, they have their reward right then, right there. And they should not expect anything else from God who is in heaven. Clarification. Clarification. Let us be clear. True and righteous deeds flow from a heart that's been changed by God's grace through faith. Our standing before God does not depend upon what we do. We are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. Period. But that does not mean that when your heart that's been changed by the love of God overflows with love to another, that God is blind. He sees the heart. And in his own time and in his own way, he will reward those who give and pray in such a manner. I love the book of Ephesians because it speaks so plainly about salvation by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone in Ephesians chapter 2. But listen to this verse after Paul has explained this salvation. He says, verse 10, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." The order is crucial. Our hearts saved by grace alone, filled with the love of God, and then it overflows to other people. That is crucial to understanding what it means to do a good work of righteousness before God. Now, one more question for you, and it's really important. What is the reward that Jesus is speaking of? Real question. What is the reward that Jesus is speaking of? Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." May I read one more passage to explain what it is that Jesus is talking about when he talks about reward? He's not talking about earthly wealth, riches here and now. Listen to these words of Jesus from Matthew chapter 25, verse 34. I want you to hear what Jesus says, and I want your heart to resonate with these words. Matthew 25, verse 34. "Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world.'" What is the reward that Jesus is talking about? It's not material possessions on this earth primarily. It's God, your presence with God, your joy in God, your peace that you have with God in his presence forever and ever without end. That is the reward that he is talking about. That is the reward that Jesus speaks of, not the reward here that we find on this earth. Application for us today. And this one's important. What does this mean for us if our reward is not here on this earth? That means we stand firm against anyone who would say, you give a little bit now so that you might have a little bit more tomorrow here on this earth. Do you see what's happening when that takes place? You give a little bit today so that you might gain more tomorrow. That's not the reward that Jesus is talking about here. He's not talking about a reward a little today for great material gain and wealth tomorrow. He's talking about giving from the heart today so that you spend eternity with God forever and ever. When you give a little today so that you might gain a little tomorrow, you are attempting to paint God into a corner and say, well, I'm doing this, you must do this back to me. God does, he's a debtor to no man. And love and giving is not a transaction like that. Love and giving flows from the heart that's been changed by God. So Jesus says, when you give from the heart in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will see you. How do we embrace this heart of giving that Jesus is talking about? Number one, heed the warnings in verse 1. You can be tempted to do the right thing for the wrong reasons. If you do, you should just expect what you get right then and there, the glory of men. Number two, well, how do I go about actually doing the giving that Jesus talks about? Follow the instructions that Jesus gives. Look with me at verse 2. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. Now, I want you to think about this in 3D living color, what Jesus just described. Imagine a scribe or a Pharisee who's about to give to the poor and to the needy. But before they do, they make their way to a very crowded street corner. And in that street corner, this is the picture that's being painted. They make sure to blow a trumpet to get everybody's attention before they actually do the act of giving. Jesus says, do not do that. 4 P's to help us think through this particular verse. Number one, think about the pomp that's going on here. Sound no trumpet before you. What does this mean? Does this mean that they were actually sounding trumpets in the street? It's possible. Not absolutely necessary. When Jesus says they sound a trumpet, we get the point, don't we? Some people say that even in the temple, the treasury boxes that you put the money into was shaped like a funnel, like a trumpet, and you made sure that you clanged it when it went in, sounding the trumpet as it went in. That might be what Jesus is talking about, but we know for sure exactly what he's talking about. Do they are drawing attention to themselves before they do an act of righteousness? There is a pomp in this action. And then Jesus describes the person, how they play the game. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you. And what does he call them? As the hypocrites do in the synagogues. What is a hypocrite? We all have our definitions, right? The word in Greek means to answer in response. It was used in ancient Greek for an actor. So if you were to say this person is an actor, you would actually call them a hypocrite. And it meant that they placed a mask over their face as they were play acting, and they were pretending to do something that they normally didn't do. They were being somebody else. They were covering up on the outside. And it's a very good description of what's happening here. Somebody is playing a role on the outside, but on the inside, they're not sincere about it in order to get the praise of men. Pretty powerful language, isn't it? The hypocrite, one who is one way on the outside but is different on the inside. One pretending to be righteous and godly but in their heart, they're seeking praise for themselves. So we see the pomp, we see the person and how they play the game, and the place. They want to make sure that whenever they do this, it's at the busy street corner that they do this. Not the one over here that nobody will see, the busy street corner. The place, the synagogue, the place where good things are expected, the street, the place where many people will be. And what is the purpose of all this? It's the praise. Look with me again in verse 2. The synagogues and the streets, that they might be praised by others. And here is the point. This is what's shaping everything. Their heart shapes their actions. Pause. Our hearts always shape our actions. Your theology will work itself out through your fingertips, good or bad. And here, they want the praise of men. And so they construct a circumstance in order to get what they want. Do you see how this is all unfolding before your eyes? Can you see how their heart is shaping their actions? What reward can those who give in this manner expect? Look at what Jesus says. He says, "Truly I say to you, they have received their reward." If praise of men is what they want, then praise of men is what they will get, and they got it, and they should not expect anything else. Regarding the praise of men above the praise of God, it's dangerous. It's even scary when we begin to think about it. What does Jesus say about this? Now, make for sure, if you are a circular one who circles in your Bible, verse 2, thus when you give to the needy, do not sound the trumpet before you. Do not give in this way. So this is how we are not supposed to give. And your question right now is, well, how then are we supposed to give? How are we supposed to give? Serve God in secret. Look at verses 3 and 4. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. There's two questions that are answered in these two verses. The first question is, what are the followers of Jesus supposed to do? And the answer to that question is really simple. The followers of Jesus will give. God's people will be givers. That's just the way God works in our hearts. God's people will be givers. And it's very clear from the text, verse 3. But when you give to the needy. I love that word give here, because it means showing mercy to those who are in need. In fact, some of the old translations say giving alms or showing mercy. God's people will be those who give to those who are in need. The second question that's answered is, how are the followers of Jesus supposed to give? So we know what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to give. Side note, it doesn't matter if it's that bit much or if it's that much. The 2 half pennies in the treasury meant more than all the riches to Jesus, because they were from the heart. So when I say give, I'm not saying this. I'm saying give what you can, whether it's small or big. That's what delights Jesus, is the heart, not the amount. How are you supposed to give? Jesus says, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. I have a vivid imagination. So here I am. I'm imagining the left hand doing this, talking, and the right hand is like, what are you giving? And it's like, I don't know. What are you giving? But that's really not what's going on here. Jesus is saying, when you give in such a way that it doesn't draw attention to yourself, so discreetly that if your left hand could know something, it wouldn't know what your right hand was doing. That's the way you give. Jesus is addressing your heart. Jesus wants your heart in such a way that when you give, it's out of a heart of love for God. There may be times that others actually do know what you're doing. But the point is that you're not doing it for personal praise. You're doing it because you love God and you want to see good happen to somebody else. Now, right now, I want you to ask this question. What if I do give and not another human being in this world ever knows what I give? What if I actually do it? What I actually give and nobody else in this world ever knows what I give? How do you think Jesus would answer that question? He would say to you, good. But you're a little bit wrong. Somebody will know. There will be one who knows not only your actions, but he will also know your heart. Listen to what he says. Verse 4, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Imagine with me just for a moment, a young girl, maybe a teenager, and she has a friend who lives down the street, and this friend's had a bad day, a bad week, a bad month. And she's hurting because her friend is hurting. And she's thinking to herself, she's praying, Lord, what can I do? So what she does is she goes into the house and she does what she knows how to do best, and she bakes some cookies. And as she finished baking those cookies, she gets them out of the oven, and nobody's at home. And she makes her way down the street with a hot plate of cookies in her hand, and she goes up to the door. And what she does is she knocks on the door, or she rings the doorbell, and before the person comes to the door, she's gone. And as she's leaving and running away, you look at her face, and what do you see? You see a smile from ear to ear and white teeth flinging out. And she's full of joy. And not another human being on this earth will ever know what she did. Why is her heart happy in that moment? Because she loved her neighbor out of a love for God. This is what Jesus is talking about. The satisfaction of giving out of a heart of love. What does Jesus say to such giving? Your Father, who sees in secret, will reward you. Now remember the word reward that he's talking about. It will be God's reward in God's time, whether in this world or in the world to come. And when you give like that, friends, when you give in secret and nobody knows, do you know what you are doing? You are expressing your faith in Almighty God. You are saying there is a God in heaven that sees everything. You are saying there is a God in heaven who sees in secret. You are saying there is a God in heaven who not only sees my actions, but sees my heart. And when he sees my heart, changed by his grace, acting in such a way, he is well pleased. It's an act of faith to give in secret. So friends, take comfort that when you give, like Jesus just described, it will not be in vain. Jesus will see your gift. And not only your gift, your hands, but he will see your heart that moved those hands for those gifts. And the Father who is in heaven will reward you in his time, in his presence. Can I conclude with two questions? Number one, why is it right for a Christian to give? Why is it right for a Christian to give out of a heart of love and grace and mercy? May I reply to that question to you? Because God is a God who gave from a heart of love and grace and mercy. And listen to me when I quote John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. When you give, like just described, you are reflecting the very heart and character of God. Number two, why should I give out of a heart of love, mercy, and grace? Number two, because we remember that we have also received. Christian, you were broken. Christian, you were needy. Christian, you were a sinner. And God gave his only son, so that whoever believed in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. When we give like this, we reflect the character of God, and we remember what God has done for us. I want you to be an oak and a maple and an elm with a heart that is not rotten, but is alive with the love and mercy of God, and gives out of the love that God has given to you. Let us pray. Father, I pray this morning that you will capture our hearts. More than anything else, Lord, let our hearts be given over in surrender to you. It's not the amount of money that we are concerned about. It's the heart of every believer that you are concerned about. We want our hearts to be sweetly given over to our God, to be used in any way that you choose. We love you, great God. We thank you for the gift of salvation that we have in Jesus Christ. And I pray that each and every one of us would have hearts that have been changed by the grace of God for your glory, for the good of others. And I ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.